You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Adam Cable. Adam, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Adam, we're going to talk about your show, Domestic Tectonics, at Amos Eno Gallery, and I'm looking forward to this. I saw the show, and I like that space at Amos Eno, and let's get into it. So to begin with, these are kind of hybrid images, right? These are inkjet prints, but there's so much going on in them. Can you tell me a little bit about the process that you use when you're making these images, which are really a type of collage, right?
They are. So I used to make physical collages out of stacked inkjet prints and began just realizing after showing the work that people weren't actually seeing much depth there. And I've come to the point where I'm just made peace with making these compositions digitally, printing in flat inkjet print, because I want to ultimately make more work and have more of a conversation with people than spend, 90% of my time in production. So they're definitely inspired by working with my hands, but now take place all within Photoshop and then, of course, the printed final piece.
That's cool. And and this show has a specific theme to it, right? So talk a little bit about the narrative running through it. It's a domestic theme, but it's also about kind of a state of emergency, right?
Yes. So sort of the thesis of the exhibition is looking at home as a conduit for information. I'm really interested in how internalized forces can define and shape the terrain of our awareness or perception, even within places that are seemingly neutral or intimate, like the American home. Social forces, in my mind, still play out on these surfaces and scenes. So I'm wanting to visualize that sort of experience of things in our daily surroundings being sort of a conversation between ideologies, perceptions, and just day-to-day functioning.
But you're talking about the functioning and the perceptions between domestic environments, interior environments, like the inside of cars, the inside of homes, and the external world environment, right? That these mirror one another?
Yes. I feel that homes in particular reflect social and cultural values. The way that these things play out is sometimes like with the actual construction of it, whether it's considered like a single family home versus single occupancy apartment. So the actual layout is influenced by social ideas or norms, but also things like the nuclear family versus queer chosen family. There are different sort of baskets or ways of containing different identities that don't really speak to the complexity of virtually anybody's experience. So we're all, in some ways, navigating these expectations that are based in an idea rather than a lived experience.
I really love that. Yeah, that of course, strikes me as so, so true. So let's talk about some of the images in the show that reflect that. There's a number here that now are, I can read in a slightly different way, but still they're quite abstract, right? So, so talk about one that almost looks like an interior and exterior. Am I there yet? This is an image that I love because we're kind of inside and outside at the same time. Can you tell me a little bit about how this relates? And of course, for viewers, there's links to these images. Listeners, rather, they can see these images. Am I there yet? Yeah, we're looking outside and we're also inside. Which is kind of a literal manifestation of what we've just been talking about. Can you tell me a little bit about this image? Because it's still so curious and hard to place myself within it.
Sure. So when I was putting this together, I was thinking about these kind of like adult milestones in my mid-30s, and there are certain things where culturally I've been sort of raised to expect, like, I'll have this and that by this age, or I should aspire toward these things. And life hasn't necessarily worked out in that trajectory, which is totally fine, but it does leave me sometimes wondering, like, am I going in the right direction? Have I arrived where I need to be? So the image, the drawing is of this, like, bathroom scene where there's a tub filling up with water, and there's a window looking out at this ongoing horizon. And I think there's always a sense of, am I doing things correctly? Am I missing out on anything? And that's sort of natural to life, especially this day and age. But I think it's also important to recognize that the journey is also a part of the experience, and we can't lose sight of the end point that we want while sort of giving up the joys and positive things to be found and just existing and, you know, living out your everyday.
Yeah, I love the way you speak about that. That makes sense to me, and of course, it's very relatable too. There's another image that is really curious and looks almost entirely indoors, although there's aspects of it that may be windows or sort of portals. It's called Unrequited, and this is a table, of course, with two chairs with a very unusual surface, and one of the chairs looks almost like there's a scar in it or a zipper. I have a sense of what part of this is about, but the floor and what looks like a space off to the left that could be an outdoor window is still a little bit mysterious. Can you tell me about Unrequited?
Sure. So this is pulling from an experience of being a closeted teenager at an indoor pool and having this feeling of being attracted to other boys, but not knowing what to do with that, not knowing how to process it. It just being this really overwhelming thing. So the foreground chair shows somebody from behind with their swim trunks and the zipper, looking at somebody across a pool. And in the background is a window looking outward, kind of into this unknown. It's a very sort of abstract top left corner where you could tell that you are inside looking out, but the outside is not really informing anything. It's just, you know, that there's something out there. So this was me trying to sort of reflect on formative experience and my sort of coming to age, but also trying to think of, like, what makes an interesting picture. I'm really interested in how I can take a scene or setting and then reorganize it to where it kind of makes sense as being in a place or time, but also not by the reorganization of its elements. So this is both a visual puzzle of sorts for me to figure out while also trying to tie in some past experiences in a way that maybe just lets it be fun for me to use while making.
Yeah, I love that, and I like that it's such a personal story, right? Because there are these kind of memories that stay with us, right? That form us, mm-hmm. really, in so many ways. There's another one I really liked called "Anywhere But Here," and this again, you know, I love the change of palette in these and the change of forms. They're not just using the same palette or using consistent forms or space. There's something always very unusual going on in each one of these, which is why I like this show so much. But Anywhere But Here, this looks entirely interior. A domestic scene, is that correct?
That's correct. So I ended up building this from three different images, the drawing part. So there's the blanket, which was from one source, the couch, which is another, and then the background was sort of pieced together through other images when I drew into a single composition and began inputting textures. I'm really interested in how trauma can impact vision, like how various scales or perceptions can play a role in perception, kind of going in and out of focus, hard to pin down, but full of sharpness. And I think that this piece speaks to that because there are things that are, like, almost hyper sharp and things that are out of focus, but they feel like they shouldn't be. They should be, you know, more present. So there's like a cocktail napkin making this blanket atop a couch made of these images of a mojito in the background, these blinds made of a cocktail umbrella, and kind of just sitting with the idea of trying to self-soothe, but recognizing that you need to change, you need to have some sort of development to move beyond this place of sadness or interiority. This was made in 2021 when we were still dealing with quite a bit of the pandemic experience. And so there's a lot of sort of morose internal feelings I was trying to just get out of my system. And that's sort of how this piece came about.
Pandemic, right? There's such a powerful effect on all of us. So let's talk a little bit about this, because others were made in the pandemic, right? Or just outside of it, like perhaps times like these, which is Summer Drift. Is that also pandemic related?
Yes. So out of the entire show, 8 out of 10 pieces were made on 2020 through 2021, including times like these, where it's showing this container that has a lighter and two cylinders, kind of like cigarettes, and an ashtray with one that looks like it's burning, made out of driftwood. And it was me trying to think about, where do I want to be at the end of this experience, because it will end one day, and looking for direction. Buoys that are out on the open sea are often used for direction, but unless you have a reference point or a map, they don't necessarily indicate a direction unto themselves. They need to have some sort of guide, map, code, whatever. So I was trying to sort of just think about, you know, what are the things that I want out of life? And are these things that I'm being told I want? Are they things that are intrinsically things that I need to be focusing on? Or are they just abstract and I'm adrift at sea? I think that there was a lot of second guessing myself as an artist during that time, and I'm happy with how I have come out of it. But I think that sort of inquiry about, like, you know, why am I doing this and to what effect, that really played a role in how this work came together.
And how has that affected work after that? You know, it seems like the pandemic for everyone has affected how they see the world or make work. Like, for example, for me, I've always done these interviews and often looked at the work online and interviewed the artist. After the pandemic, I no longer wanted to interview people whose work I didn't physically see, because I realized there's a huge difference between, I mean, I always knew there was a difference between seeing work in person and online, but the pandemic made me lean more in the direction of physicality. And, you know, this may be a stretch for me, but I feel like I noticed more work that's about materiality, surface, physicality. And again, that's just my interpretation. But it changed my view of how I look at art, how I look at the world. And after the series, as you're talking about, which most was done in the pandemic or just post-pandemic, has that also changed your approach today to making work?
It has. I think what I've sort of, up until this past year, been struggling with is like a fixation on process and craft to a point that's like not doing me any good, like seeking perfection. And what the experience of the past 5 years has shown me is that it's really detrimental to try and hone everything into a ultra sharp point when, you know, you're spending 6 months on one piece rather than trying to make a amount of work that leads to development, allows the work to breathe, to have some sort of life to it. Basically just coming to terms with my own tendencies towards controlling to the point of choking off my creativity. So it's more, I guess, a conceptual thing for me. It's really just shown me that I need to be a little bit more gentle with myself, have a little bit more grace, and focus on the joy of making rather than feeling like it's an obligation, which I think makes better work. But it's been a real journey for me through this series of work and what I make now, to just come to terms with, you know, I'm never going to obtain perfection, so just embrace the present because it's all we have.
Yeah, so well put. Thanks for sharing that. I couldn't agree more. And in the work that you're currently doing, to talk about just what's next, is are you working along similar themes, or is something else happening now in your studio?
It's visually similar, so I'm still making these like contour drawings with images plugged into the shapes that they make. But I'm working right now with images of different sort of coping mechanisms. So that would be ways in which I find comfort or resolution, whether it's like baking or a TV remote, like these sort of everyday things that are sort of non-consequential, and using them as a starting point for drawing and a questioning about my own internal judgment and values, which unfortunately something I'm just trying to reconcile. So the imagery I'm using to put into these shapes is of water. It's something that is not necessarily good or bad. You can't put a binary judgment on it, but it can lead to things that are positive or negative depending on quantity, context, what have you. You know, there's floods, but then there's also water to stay alive. So I'm trying to question my sort of binary thinking from my upbringing, because I don't think it's serving me. And it's exciting because I'm looking forward to making a little bit more cohesive of a body of work, but also it's, I think, just a positive thing to really think about. How do I find ways of making life more, I guess, enthusiastic for myself, ways of acknowledging that it is dynamic and that it has more values or more gradation to it. So I'm still trying to like figure it out, but that's sort of where I'm going, is contour drawings that deal with, you know, ways of seeing the world and then applying these textures that question that perception.
I so relate to that. I exactly what you're talking about. And thanks for sharing that. And when you talk about the binary thinking of your childhood, as I understood it, are you talking about gender and cultural associations specifically?
Somewhat. I grew up in a very religious evangelical household where there was right and wrong. There was no in-betweens. So that's definitely played a role in how I perceive the world. I'm no longer in that system, but it's still left its mark. And so that, paired with my experience of being a gay man and also having friends who have various gender identities, there's sort of an understanding that this old way of thinking is not in line with where I want to be or what I actually believe, but it's still has this sort of outsized impact on how I perceive and unfortunately even judge different things. And it's sort of like a knee-jerk reaction that I'm not thrilled about, but sort of have to take in stride. So that's influencing the sort of deconstruction of myself as I relate it or express it through the work.
Thanks so much for that and for talking with me today. I want to ask you one last question, a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading this book called The Structure of Art by Jack Burnham. It's from the 1970s, and it talks a bit about how philosophers, different philosophers view the production of art and its role, while also getting into things like semiotics and, you know, how speech is a form of language. Language is a form of art history, whereas speech is more of like criticism, and just trying to really dig into what does each component of art mean, and like questioning, does it hold a place in how we make work, or is it something that is sort of put on as in a sort of elitist value judgment. So it's kind of meaty stuff. I'm slowly working my way through it, but it's really interesting.
Thanks so much for sharing that. That does sound really interesting. I haven't read that. I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. For listeners, of course, there's links here so they can see the images and more that we're talking about. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.